Hello everybody, my name is Anne Teato and welcome to the Psychic Matters podcast, episode number 40. My guest this week is the hugely talented psychic medium and creative artist, Nicole Lind. Nicole talks to us of the many ways in which spirit can influence our creativity. This is what is coming up.
Why I love art and why I love being creative is really the creative process. It's really that connection to the flow, the higher self, the divine. We all know when we're in it, right? Whether you're writing, whether you're painting, you can feel that flow. You can feel that energy. It's like coming through you and it can seem so effortless. But the moment, of course, that your critic or your analytical mind gets in it, it can kind of stop that flow. You need to have a sense of curiosity. And a lot of creative people are very curious and explorers too. If we allow, there's so much about allowing ourselves in the creative process and being vulnerable, just like we are in mediumship, but to really go with the flow of however spirit sort of takes you and navigates you through all that.
Don't go away. I have an incredible episode for you. But before we dive in, have you voted for us yet in the People's Choice Podcast Awards? It's in the spirit of the Podcast Awards for individual shows such as this one to work with their audiences independently to ask for nominations for a podcast award. So I'm asking you, please, will you vote for Psychic Matters? Like right now, no time to lose, quick. We have to get our votes in before the end of this month, so that's July the 31st. Head over to www.podcastawards.com. The Psychic Matters podcast has been set up for all of us. It's a free resource for everyone across the world. It's here to teach proven techniques for spiritual and psychic development and to investigate the teachings of experts across the globe to bring you their wisdom, their advice, and their spiritual wealth. And it is a platform on which we all proudly stand, proud of who we are in the world and the gifts that we have, the gifts we are constantly striving to improve in order to benefit all who live alongside us. So winning an award will mean that the Psychic Matters podcast becomes a recognised platform for good in the world. And it means we might be more likely to climb up the global podcast charts, which increases our visibility for those who live in countries where perhaps they cannot access training or tuition, or they can't get to a recognised college or school, or for people who may not be able to attend classes in person. Also, I just think it's going to make us all feel really great, isn't it? So as light workers across the world. So here are three categories I paid to enter them all: religion and spiritual, the Adam Curry People's Choice Award, and Best Female Hosted Podcast. So three categories. Don't forget to vote for Psychic Matters in all three. And hopefully it will just take 5 minutes of your time to register and vote. And I'd just be so hugely grateful to you if you would do that for me. So once again, visit www.podcastawards.com. And if you're listening to this podcast after the 31st of July 2021, you won't be able to vote, but you can still support the Psychic Matters podcast by either leaving a written review on iTunes or Stitcher and or by becoming a patron. So find out more about that. Visit patreon.com, patreon.com/psychicmatters. Meanwhile, settle on the sofa. It's back to this week's episode. My guest today is psychic medium and creative artist Nicole Lind. Nicole, welcome to Psychic Matters.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Anne.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. It's a shame in a way that this is a podcast because behind you, you have the most beautiful piece of artwork on your Zoom background. So I know that you are going to tell us more about your artwork and the colours in this piece of art that Nicole is sitting in front of are absolutely stunning. And I know that you've also created your own oracle deck using your art and inspired from spirit. So we'll come on to that in a moment. But shall we start, Nicole, by letting everybody know who you are right now, what kind of work you're doing out in the world at the moment?
Okay, yeah. So I am a psychic medium and intuitive, and I do personal and small group readings. I also do mediumship demonstrations. So if you would, you know, make an appointment with me, if you, you know, for various reasons, for any insights in your life, in your current life, anything that's going on, or if you perhaps have lost someone and, you know, the grief journey as we know it is, you know, a forever journey. And so, you know, sometimes people come just to reconnect with their loved one. Of course, you can do that by yourself, but it's always special when we meet with a medium as well. So that's what I do.
Beautiful, really beautiful work. And when we were chatting before we pressed record, you spoke about a friend of yours who had passed to spirit, and it sort of set you on the road to this work that you're now doing. So you've been on your own grief journey. Should we start there and talk to us a little about your beautiful friend who's gone?
Sure. My friend was a good friend. She was my best friend in Iceland, actually. I lived there for a little over a year. I went to art school and then I did a study in Iceland. And she really took me under her wing there. And she had a battle with cancer. And, you know, she passed quite young, about, I think she was 27. And I have always been sensitive to energy and things like that. But I had imaginary friends when I was young. But I wasn't one of those people who can recall seeing spirit, you know, when they were young, minus, you know, my collection of imaginary friends and things like that. So it was quite surprising when she came to me, and I was actually creating something, I was painting. I don't remember what it was, but I remember that I was painting in my apartment. And I think this is maybe a few days after she had passed, that I'd learned that she had passed. She came to me in a very quick kind of, you know, image and a feeling and sensation. And she told me, you know, kind of comforted me and, you know, don't worry about me. You know, I'm okay. I'm safe. And then I had a vision of a train, and there was one train going one direction and then another train going the other direction. And she got on the train. And I remember, you know, of course, this is all very quick, right? When we're connecting to spirit, especially if you're not used to it. And I remember saying, you know, take me with you. I want to go with you. And she said, you know, no, you can't go on this train. This is not your time yet to come with me, but I will be around you and, you know, in essence, you know, visiting you in the future. And she has, I've had spirit visitation dreams with her. I'd say, you know, it's been a while now since she's passed, but I'd say at least once, maybe twice a year, she still comes to me. So that was really, you know, kind of the first spirit visitation by someone that I was close to.
And prior to that, Nicole, were you working as a medium? You hadn't done any of this work before?
No. I was an artist and very into my art, and very much, you know, now that I look back, you know, very much channeling through my art, although not any specific spirit, but very much, you know, channeling in various ways from different dimensions or things like that. Different, I feel like a language, you know, just different symbols, things like that were kind of coming through me as it does through artists. But this was definitely I feel like it was kind of the big opening. And when I connected with her, there's a couple other things that happened kind of synchronistically right after. I saw in the same apartment, I saw this, I don't know if he's a, you know, a ghost, a being, an angel, alien. I still don't know, because I have never seen a person like him again. He was very tall. And I would say maybe like, because he had to duck through, he went through my bathroom in my hallway and then just disappeared. And I saw him and I was wide awake. And shortly after that, I was at a bar, like a bar restaurant with my husband. And there was a man doing tarot in the kind of, you know, like lobby area of the restaurant. And I felt so drawn to get a tarot reading. I had never had any reading before. So I was quite, you know, okay, what is this? You know, but again, the fear, you know. So my husband's like, well, why don't you just go over and get your, you know, get a reading. So I went over there and, you know, I can't remember exactly like what the cards were that he pulled, but at one point I looked at him and I said, is your birthday February 16th? And he said, yes. Why? He just kind of has the color sort of drained out of him. And I said, well, you remind me of my grandma, one of my grandmas, and that's her birthday. And again, you know, when information comes through like that, it just comes out of your mouth, you know, and, you know, I don't necessarily get birthdays on the dates, you know, but this was just, you know, spirit saying, hey, you know, here's a piece of evidence or something, you know, say that. And from there, and then I also told him about the ghost, and he was telling me to, you know, why don't you ask? He was very much, you know, kind of on our thought of spirits, you know, he's probably there with a message, you know, and not fear-based, things like that. So if he comes back, why don't you ask him, you know, why he's there? And at the same time, he was saying, well, I feel like you have abilities and, you know, he was going to help me kind of, you know, go towards the developing psychic abilities. And so all of this was sort of happening at one time. And so then before I went to bed, I don't remember, you know, if it was that night or the night after, I set the intention to connect with this spirit that was in the apartment. And so I did have a very vivid dream, I remember. And he came to me, this being, and I kind of asked him, you know, why are you here? Or, you know, can I help you? What's going on? And he showed me very quickly. It was like a fast edited movie where it was like all the fish in the sea, all the birds, all the, you know, everything on earth, all the people, babies, you know, passing away, everything. And I heard the message, don't you see, we're all connected. And then he showed me this kind of long, this hallway. And there was like almost like a French door at the end. And he said, do you want to see what's inside or on the other side? And I'm like, okay, sure. You know, this is all so beautiful. So we get to the door and then I'm like, no, I can't, you know, the fear came up. So, but the whole message from that, and then I woke up, was just really him showing me how connected we are. So that was part of that whole big spiritual awakening I was having at that time. And that was just really, really special. I, you know, still today, years later, I can recall that dream so vividly. He was obviously maybe an angel or something here to really help me, right? As they often are. So,
yeah, to help you on your path. Yeah. And your friend, when she first appeared to you that first time, was that very shocking for you? Were you frightened seeing her, or was it all quite
so okay? It was very shocking, but I was not frightened because, you know, she was such a good friend and so beautiful. And her name is Ragnhildur. She's Icelandic. And, she, you know, so that wasn't scary. You know, I chose not to actually develop at that point because, you know, and I had followed up with this tarot guy and I was going to do some classes and then I shut down. And I feel like this is why it's great for so much of the education that we try to do as mediums. Our society kind of paints this picture, right, of, you know, with ghosts and scary things here to haunt you and, you know, Hollywood and such. And certain religions have, you know, really kind of said, you know, it's evil and things like that. So you have all that, you know, collective kind of, you know, fear-based things. And if you don't have a mentor, or if your family, you know, isn't encouraging, or you just don't have any skills really to kind of see that it's this beautiful, although it can be a lot of work, right? Development, that it's not this kind of thing that we have in our head. And that really kind of, you know, I couldn't go there at that time. And it was from that. And also really, there's a lot that we have to go through within ourselves internally when we are developing. I don't care if you've been seeing spirit since you were 3, or you start seeing spirit, you know, when you're 90, you still have to go through some of that self-development, right? And I just wasn't able to do that at the time. I was very much partying and sort of this artist, you know, life of kind of not, I didn't have the best skills, you know, and I wasn't very healthy in some ways. So that's why, you know, when I look back and I think, why didn't I just do that then? Not 10 years later, it took me 10 years. Well, I had to go through all this internal you know, shadow work, you know, had to quit certain habits, you know, all the inner work that is really parallel, that self-development to mediumship that always continues, right?
Yeah. And that's why people sometimes stop developing as a medium, because they don't want to go through the, it's not an easy decision to make, or it can be quite a lot of hard work. And it is a lot about what you experience in your own lifetime. And allowing those experiences to unfold, because it, like you say, it runs exactly parallel with your mediumship and your psychic ability.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, a lot of people, they speak about being healed, you know, the healing power, and that really is part of it. But it's also you doing the healing journey yourself. And although we're never fully healed, I don't believe, you know, there's always something coming up. This is our life lessons, but it's like, are we escaping from them, or are we attempting to go through and really learn from some of those problems and challenges that are presented within our life?
Yeah. And so what did you do then going forward to, so 10 years later, you suddenly decide, oh, hold on a minute, let me investigate this. How did that all pan out?
Yeah. Okay. So there's a big chunk in there where I had some children and, you know, I had stopped kind of this kind of party life once I had like my first son, and I really dived into my artwork. We had moved also. So we had, you know, to California, and, but spirit won't leave you alone. I feel like once you get that initial, whatever it was, a spiritual awakening, I mean, it was not, you know, I was just drinking and doing other things to try to push things away. But then once I stopped that and I was a little bit, you know, I was healthier, it was like full on. So spirit was trying to, the only way that spirit was haunting me and the way that spirit was really encouraging me to look at myself and my own abilities and get closer to that. So yeah, I mean, I don't know if you want me to talk about like my grandma who passed. I basically had four people that passed away within 5 years. My dad being one of them, all my grandparents. But my grandma who passed away, she came to me in a dream. And I was having still art shows, you know, in California, and I had one child and I was trying to get pregnant, and she came to me and she said, this is going to happen. Basically, she was like, do you want to have a child, or do you want to develop? But either way, you will develop. It's just that it might take a little longer. So I remember that spirit visitation quite clearly. And she also had some other sort of healing messages that she wanted of forgiveness towards my mom, because there's kind of a, you know, family dynamics there. And right the day after, I had never been to a platform mediumship event. I saw on Facebook like an ad or something popped up, or someone had liked someone's of Bill Phillips. He was in San Jose. And so I'm like, well, okay, I think I'm supposed to go to this. So I bought a ticket and I went and I sat in the back of the auditorium, because I still had a lot of fear around this whole thing. It's so funny, right? How we have this, but I feel like the fear is also sort of drives you, right?
Yes.
So I'm sitting in the back and, you know, he's doing some, it's a demo, you know, he's doing some readings, and then he, undeniably, this is my grandma that's coming through. You know, I try, no one else is taking it and all the information. So I stand up and he gives beautiful evidence and beautiful message from my grandma to my mom, because this is my mom's grandma, or my mom's mom. And then he turns and he looks at me and he said, so you do this work? And I'm like, no, you know, and he just, this timid person in the back, and he said, well, I just want you to know that I'm hearing that you're very intuitive, and I feel like, you know, I'm encouraging you to develop, you know, some of your abilities. So after that, it was really like, okay, you know, the two things that happened in a row, and you know, those other, there just becomes more and more things. Like when my dad passed, that was quite traumatic. And you know, after he passed, he came, and there was a whole bunch of things with that as well. But I really felt like there was no other road for me, or like, you know, it was either kind of self-destruct, go backwards, or go forwards with this, as sort of scary as it was.
And how did you manage the fear? Where was the fear coming from for you?
You know, I think the fear was coming from a lot of things. It was still a little bit of, you know, one thing is, you know, I was kind of, some of that Hollywood stuff was dying down now that I had sort of, you know, been exposed to some mediums, and that's, you know, there. But there was, you know, I have a lot of schizophrenics in on my dad's side of my family that goes, it's genetic. There's at least three. And I was worried that if I would develop my psychic or mediumship abilities, would I go crazy? Would I not be able to turn something off, you know? So maybe not fully schizophrenic, but you know, the mental illness part, you're sort of worried. And then society also has sort of seen us this way before.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was part of the fear. The other fear was really the self-doubt. Am I really a medium? Am I really a psychic, right? Isn't that the question that all the students ask when they, you know, I also teach some intro classes. I feel like that's definitely one of the big ones. You know, am I just kind of being led down a rabbit hole that, you know, am I convincing myself, you know? So that was also the self-doubt. And being an artist for so long, I do so much of my process by myself, you know, when you're painting, when you're channeling. And, you know, although I always thought of myself as an introvert, but now that I have been reading more about kind of like sensitive people and empaths and intuitives, I really feel like I was more just absorbing a lot of people's energy and not kind of knowing what to do with it. So you sort of become quiet, you know, rather than a loud person. So anyways, the whole point with that is when you're an artist, I mean, depending on what kind of artist you are, but when you're a painter or something like that, you do your channeling, you do your creative work all by yourself generally, and then you put it out to the world. And you don't even have to be there. I mean, you know, you do a little maybe at your art show, but you kind of just sort of disappear, right?
Yes.
So I really was afraid of connecting with people more, you know, in a direct way, because for years up until I was, you know, my mid-30s, that's what I did.
They're very real fears that I'm sure a lot of people have as well.
Right, right. Yeah. And there's a lot of responsibility of course, at the beginning, when you're developing, you kind of don't know if you're even going to maybe do this professionally, or you're just kind of on this journey, right? You're not even sure what's going on. But there's a lot of responsibility when I feel if you're an authentic, as much of an authentic medium as you can be, there's a lot of responsibility. There's people that come to you and with, grieving and their grieving journey, and there's all sorts of passings, and they're looking at you, you know, you're holding the space for them. And so there's that as well, which is something that I hope most professional mediums always kind of keep in mind, you know.
Yeah, that great responsibility. And then how did you conquer your fears then? What did you do to really get to grips with everything?
So one thing that really that happened was I had started to do some of these, you know, development classes and circles and things, but I was still a little bit like, oh, you know, and I had, I got really sick. Let's see, when was this? 4 years ago now. I got really ill with a lung. They thought it was pneumonia, and then it turned out to be cysts in my lungs. And anyways, for 4 months, I was pretty much just wiped out. And when I had a really high fever, I had a spirit. I remember looking out the window and almost just sort of being like, sort of giving up, sort of being like, well, I've connected with spirit. I had started sort of this, you know, journey, and I'm okay. I, you know, this is okay to go now, because I was having this 5 days crazy fever. And all my people came, my dad, my grandma, you know, they're in a circle. And they visited me, and they're like, we're here, you know, we're here to help you. And also, like, you're not done yet. Nope. And so when I had that message, you know, when we get messages, they're so internal, it's kind of hard to interpret them sometimes. But it was like, this is it. This is what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, when you have that kind of just almost mission, I don't know. Now that I look at it, it was almost like, this is my mission. It helped with some of the fears, to at least just get me, you know, that fuel, that fire going. Yeah. But it is very much, and I teach my students this too, I try to, you know, talk about my own experience. It is very much one step in front of the other. And, you know, we have a lot of the society that's saying things, you know, okay, you know, and aunt so-and-so and your, you know, your cousin or your best friends, like what, you know? So during when you're really developing and you're sort of changing, if it is that big of a switch for you, I always encourage people to, well, first of all, look at those toxic relationships, those outside relationships. And also, it's okay to protect your energy, not from spirit, but from other people, you know, and really put those blinders on and you first, you know. And so some of the fear, I think the point within that is some of the fear was also, how are people going to see me?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And that's a really big thing for a lot of people, especially they live in cultures and societies and small towns and villages where it's difficult to step out into your power and say, I am psychic medium and this is what I'm doing.
It is. It is. For a while, I told people I was a life coach, and then I told people I was intuitive. And then finally, I'm like, you know what? This is me.
Yeah. And it's lovely when you get to that stage. Finally, it took me a long, long time to say, actually, this is me. And it was only in the last, well, 7-8 years where I suddenly thought, you know what? Life is short and I've got to just do what I'm here to do. So,
go back,
if you would, Nicole. You mentioned about having imaginary friends as a child. And I know a lot of children or parents might be listening to this whose children are talking about having an imaginary friend. And my son used to have an imaginary friend, which I didn't really know anything about. I wish I could turn the clock back, because what I know now I'd find fascinating when he talked about his imaginary friend. But I just used to, well, you know, set a place for him and talk to him, but not with any great sort of, oh, this is a spirit person interest. But talk to me about what you've learned through your experiences of your...
Well, so, you know, I really don't remember too much of the imaginary friends, because this is just from my mom would always mention, oh yeah, you were the one with imaginary friends, you know, of the three sisters, of the three of us. And she, oh yeah, her name was Gertrude, which is such an odd name for like a little kid to come up with. And, you know, at the time it was just kind of, oh, isn't that cute? You know, isn't that funny? She's got the imaginary friends and, you know, and a couple other, I don't know their names, but Gertrude definitely stuck out in my mind. But now that I think of it and it really dawned on me too, when I was developing other mediums were talking about that, or you hear, you know, a podcast or someone talking about the imaginary friend element, like, are they really imaginary? Is that really, you know, or should we be listening more as to who is your child actually connecting with? Because children, as you know, just seen from my own children, the filter is not there. You know, the filter hasn't been, you know, hammered into the child yet, the programming. And just from watching, you know, different reincarnation and different types of past life things, you know, who knows, you know, children are the most honest, kind of reliable sources in that way. And to be, although obviously my mom, you know, thought it was amusing and was sensitive to it, I don't think she knew, I don't know if she connected that with speaking to spirit, but she definitely, you know, was loving about it. But there's people who have children who have parents who maybe are like, oh boy, you know, this is crazy, or already kind of pushing the child's abilities or pushing the child's sensitivities down or away, that they are not comfortable with that. And so that is really, I feel, a big part of our development too, and why our soul might develop at certain times in our life. If your family is very much against it, or if people are afraid of it, or if it's just not recognized, or the awareness isn't there to help cultivate it, or perhaps your soul is learning other things at the time and has to go through different, you know, lessons, and so you're not ready yet. I really truly do believe that, because that was another fear I had before I developed Bean was like, well, there's some of these mediums have been seeing spirit, you know, right outside since they were, you know, could talk. And then some, you know, haven't, but it was sort of like, am I a lesser medium if I haven't, you know? And I really believe that it's now just kind of looking in other people's stories and then your own personal story. I truly believe it's when you are ready to develop from spirit. We have to go through different things at different times. And that's why it's such a personal journey. It's such a personal, you know, we can't force anything in mediumship, right? and so we can't force when we're supposed to develop. And, you know, it's that kind of spirit knocking on your door that was knocking on my door for so long. But I have to, you have to take some action within it as well.
I think that they're really, really good points and really, really important for people listening to know that no matter where you are in your years of age here on this earth, it doesn't matter. If suddenly your spiritual awareness is awakened, that is perfect. And you don't have to be somebody who's been speaking to spirit since you were a young baby or seeing spirit people or very fluent in it. Just begin where you are.
Exactly. Because you're going to use your own spirit uses you as, you know, a vehicle for, you know, with your psychic senses and your own awareness. And, you know, you are the instrument. So whatever your experiences are, and you have, you know, maybe a greater compassion or empathy or things like that to connect with spirit and your client where maybe you wouldn't have had that at a younger age.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So talk to us, Nicole, then, how spirit influenced you in terms of your creativity.
Yeah. So let's see. Well, I always love when the part that I love about being an artist, you know, I haven't created, you know, since my Oracle deck much because I've been doing more readings, but you know, throughout the first part of my life, the why I love art and what why I love being creative is really the creative process. It's really that connection to the flow, the higher self, the divine. We all know when we're in it, right? Whether you're writing, whether you're painting, you can feel that flow. You can feel that energy. It's like coming through you and it can seem so effortless. But the moment, of course, that your critic or your analytical mind gets in it, it can kind of stop that flow. And that's why it's very much like mediumship in that regard. But I really love, you know, the actual creation part. When it comes to, you know, sending it out into the world, I always felt a little bit of a disconnect. It's kind of like letting go of your baby or, you know, this sort of. And part of that was I really enjoyed having the three-way, you know, kind of conversation that mediumship has, you know, mediumship between, you know, ourselves as medium, spirit, and the client, that three-way energetic dynamic. And in art, you know, you make the artist, the medium, creates the artwork, then you put it out somewhere, whether it be a book or whether it be a painting in a gallery. And then it's like, I wanted more of the conversation. I wanted more of the immediate. So, you know, at the opening, maybe you have people come and talk to you or, you know, people can message you or things like that. I always just wanted more of that, of the exchange, of the three-way exchange. And so I think that was also a part of me that was sort of needing to grow or wanting that, feeling that part was lacking. And I think that's also part of the push, but I'm not sure if that's exactly what kind of just went off on that tangent. I don't know if that was what you were asking.
No, that's beautiful. But I was just for people who, you know, mediumship can be used obviously for giving messages to people from their spirit communicator. It can be used for guidance from higher beings, etc. But it can be used through the work that we do for writers to be inspired, for painters to be inspired, like you said, being in that flow, and you know when you're in that flow.
Yes, definitely.
And you've created this beautiful oracle card deck. Speak to us of it.
Yeah, so the oracle deck is called the Align. And I had two other Oracle decks before that. And so they were building on this one. And this is the Queen Edition, has 111 cards. And it was really, for me, it was just the perfect way for me to marry my artistic side with my mediumship side, and I created it. I started sort of at the beginning of my development and going through, and a lot of the words and themes and ideas suggested on the cards have to do with connecting with your higher self, connecting with your guides, connecting with your own energy. I called it, you know, a line, because it's really about us. Why do we ask questions, you know, externally? Why do we come to either a medium or a psychic or whatnot? You know, how can you, when you can't have a reading every minute, how can you read yourself and become better aligned with your energy for that moment or your question, get some insight, some suggestions? So that's really what it's about. All the artwork is art that I've created throughout the years. And I just paired it with different, this one is called Clear Channel. You can see, oops, we've got like a lot of.
Ah, yes. Oh, beautiful blues.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I use it for myself. I always pick a few cards with new clients. I like to, although I don't read like the energy directly from the cards and then influence the reading, I do tend to look at them at some point and see how they connect. And it's almost kind of like extra validation from spirit.
Yeah, you know? That's lovely. And how come you decided 111 cards?
Well, I was up to 72 with the second deck. And I just thought, okay, let's go up to 100. And I was like, well, you know, 111 is a good number, 111. So that's really how that came about.
Right. Perfect. And as a creative person, as you are, can you maybe offer an exercise for people listening that they could perhaps sit in the power and channel something to help them with their art?
Yeah. Okay. So if you are an artist, so something that you could do with your art, I love to do this one. Well, you know how it's such a sensory experience. So you think, okay, you know, if you're an artist, you're very visual, which of course you are, right? But you're also clairsentient. You're also feeling. You're also feeling the painting. I'm just using painting as an example. Or you even sounds can come, you know, all, how can you ignite more of your senses so that it can speak through your art? So you can do, you know, different sensory, like I love to do actually the clairaudient exercise that I like to do is I like to imagine myself closing your eyes and, of course, you know, getting comfortable, feeling where you are and in space and time. And I like to imagine myself on a grid. So you can think that you're sitting on a grid just for the energy points. And it can go in infinite in all directions and up and down. And then connect really with your hearing, your inner ear. And thinking of your ears as like funnels. And you can go, you know, one side to the next. So you can start with your left ear and really imagine like a kind of like a spiral funnel going out as far as you can. And then just seeing what sounds drop in. So you actually might hear the sound, right? You might hear inner hearing sound, but you actually might see a word too that is a sound. So, and you might feel it. It's almost like getting to the point of sort of combining senses and seeing how senses can play off of each other. Like in mediumship, sometimes you will get a name, but it could be spelt, right? You could see the name. So it's like, how can you think of yourself as a larger sponge almost for sensory experience and channeling those things? Because as artists, we're always trying to expand, right? Expand. And so that's, I thought it's kind of a fun one you can do, because clairaudient, really, I felt like I had no clairaudient when I started, because I'm an artist. I am visual. I feel. And after doing a lot of exercises, now I feel like I get a lot of clairaudient. You know, you can hear kind of like what a spirit might have, how they might have laughed, or, you know, little bits and pieces that way, or just messages from your own guides. So, yeah.
So that's a beautiful exercise. I've never heard of that before. And as you were talking us through that, I imagined myself sitting on that grid. And what I could hear was the ocean. I could hear the ocean. And then it turned into seagulls. I could hear the seagulls crying. And then I could see this beautiful Spanish galleon on the ocean. So what would I do with that then? So I can see that, I can hear it, I can smell the ocean. It's really multi-sensorial. And then what am I going to do? Paint that, draw it, type about it?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you might be inspired to do that, or it might be one of those things where sometimes, you know how it's not necessarily immediate. It's one of those things where we sort of open up a channel, right? And it might not be that moment. Like, you know, you could say, okay, now go create something. It could be that moment, or it could just be kind of like the little ping. I like to say sort of like the ping that opens something else. Or if we allow it, right? If we allow, there's so much about allowing ourselves in the creative process and being vulnerable, just like we are in mediumship, but to really go with the flow of whatever, however spirit sort of takes you and navigates you through all that. But it does sort of, you know, all of these exercises that I like to do in classes, I always tell my students, they're really just access points that spirit can use you in another way, and that you can make those connections.
So beautiful, really, really beautiful. And you talked as well a little bit before we started the episode about mediumship, how we have to be curious as mediums. Can you say a little bit about that?
I love that. I love when I finally kind of that clicked for me because, you know, and this goes also as being creative people, right? You need to have a sense of curiosity, and a lot of creative people are very curious and explorers too. And really just when we're connecting with spirit, instead of course, you know, spirit is my boss, like I cannot force whatever the flow is, but we can be curious. We can ask spirit, okay, you know, so what kind of person are you? Or, you know, what did you do for a living? You can ask spirit questions. But I always tell my students, and I try to listen to my own advice, is that spirit may not answer you directly. They may not answer that direct question. They may show you, you know, a stethoscope. Okay, they were a doctor. Or they may want to give you a name or talk about something else. And I know from what I try to do is just follow whichever way spirit wants to guide. So really a question, being curious, is just another access point. It's just another way to keep the flow going, the conversation going, you know. I always tell people too, and I tell my clients, okay, so just imagine that your husband, let's say we're connecting to someone's husband in spirit for the client. I say, imagine he is right here with us in the physical. So we're all having, you know, a conversation. You know, I don't know your husband. I am going to ask him some questions, you know. He may answer that question, or he may start talking about, oh, remember that vacation we went on and, you know, and Fort Lauderdale, and you know, we had a great time, and you know, that was for our 11th anniversary, you know. Or he might just start laughing and talking. I get the sense that he's chatting about something else, and oh, he was funny, you know. So it's really just access points, I feel like, being curious, right?
Yeah, that's beautiful. And so people can come to you, Nicole, for readings and
Yep. I do workshops. I do online. I do, you know, I have a psychic in July. I have a psychic intuitive development 5-week course happening. And then I have an intro to mediumship course happening, which I love. I love those two. And yeah, so workshops, you know, small group readings, private readings. And yeah, any other questions that people have?
What is your website so people can come and find out?
www.nicoleintuitive.com.
That's easy. And are you on Facebook and Instagram? And
yes. I'm on Instagram and Facebook under Nicole Intuitive Medium.
That's brilliant. And so, over the next little while then, coming up, you've got some classes, you've got some demonstrations, and have you got a particular focus? Are you doing any more art?
You know, I would love to get back into doing just some artwork. So, you know, we just moved, so we're kind of in the middle of doing that. I have been looking at things, and, you know, I feel like the way that we do as artists, we kind of, every once in a while, you'll see something, and I feel like we kind of look at the world in a different way. And I'm like, oh, that would be a great painting. That would be a great thing to paint. So, you know, perhaps I will get into that at some point. But besides that, I love connecting with nature, being quiet, getting some good nature time in, and being with my family and my kids. And yeah, just helping people however I can.
Nicole Lind, it's been beautiful talking to you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Anne. It's been I so appreciate connecting with you, and grateful for this experience. And hopefully people will find some of this helpful for them along their own path.
Fabulous. Thank you, Nicole Lind.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you have been inspired in many ways by this episode with psychic medium and creative artist Nicole Lind. Do go and look up her courses or book yourself a reading with her, and let us know over on the Psychic Matters group Facebook page if this episode has had a positive impact on your life, because we do love to hear how each podcast episode has been received by you, the listener. If you'd like to get the links and show notes, including a complete transcription plus details of where to find Nicole on social media, head over to annteato.com, annteato.com, and you can pick those up there. So don't forget to vote for Psychic Matters on the Podcast Awards. Do it now while it's fresh in your mind. Head over to podcastawards.com. And remember to vote for Psychic Matters in three categories: religion and spiritual, the Adam Curry People's Choice Award, and Best Female Hosted Podcast. I am eternally grateful, as ever, for your support for this podcast and for your fabulous listening ears. Until next time, my name is Anne Teato, and thank you for listening to Psychic Matters.